Isaiah chapter 14, and once you have found that, we'll be in Exodus chapter 6, really just two places tonight we'll turn to, and then of course we'll look at other scripture as well as we continue on tonight. And really the title of my message is just simple: Selfish or Sustaining I Wills. I Wills. I Wills is something that we all can say, but sometimes it's for ourselves and other times it's for others. And we see, of course, Satan and God here. We'll look at two different passages and then we'll kind of break it down tonight. And I hope we'll say the right I will when we're done tonight. And we'll get right into the message. If you're physically able to, if you could stand to your feet, we'll just read these first few verses in Isaiah and then look over at Exodus chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 13, it says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Then if you'll turn over to Exodus chapter 6, Exodus chapter 6, Genesis, and then Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 6, we'll just read three verses and then we'll pray and you can be seated. The Bible says there, once you have found it, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord." Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. You certainly are a great God. Lord, we come to you once again. I'm asking your blessing on this time. I want to pray that you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit power. I don't want to pretend to think I can do this on my own, Lord. I need your help. And I pray that you'll help us as we look at these two different areas tonight. Thank you for being a good God, how good you are. I want to pray that you'll be with those today who are carrying a burden, Lord, carrying an issue or a trial or something. And you'll give them wisdom, you'll give them patience, and you'll give them the strength they need, Lord, through that. And I pray that you open up our hearts tonight, and you'll speak through me in a great way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Years ago, there was a little girl who pointed to the Bible on the mantle that was never opened and said to her mother, "Whose book is that?" Her mother, quite startled by her daughter's question, replied, "Well, honey, don't you know that's God's book?" The child, of course, had a very practical mind, and she said, "Well, mother, don't you think we had better give it back to him? No one around here ever reads it." And may I say tonight, this is what happens when we allow the world, the flesh, and the devil to capitulate us and to pull us into what he wants for us instead of what God would have for us. And I really want us to see two different sections. I think we've probably heard messages maybe on this before, but I really want to kind of break through this I will. A couple weeks ago, on a Wednesday night, I preached on the I wills of every believer. And tonight, I want to see the I will. Started doing a study on I will in the Bible, and I came across these two things, the I wills of Satan and the I wills of God. So we'll go to Isaiah chapter 14 first. And Satan here has five I will phrases. The sinful desires of Lucifer reveals Satan in two different ways. It reveals his self-sufficiency and it reveals his self-worship. And Satan's all about himself. Of course, God is all about us, as we'll find out here in a little bit. The Bible says in verse 13, "I will ascend into heaven." Satan makes this bold statement. Barnes said it intended to set himself up as supreme. He wanted all to pay homage to him. He wanted to deny authority of God and be above all men, and in a sense, rule over the whole world. It sounds like in history, you remember Adolf Hitler. In 1927, Hess paraphrased Adolf Hitler's vision as, "World peace is certainly an ideal worth striving for. It will be realizable only when one power, the racially best one, has attained complete and uncontested supremacy. That power can then provide a sort of world peace seeing it at the same time that the most valuable race is guaranteed the necessary living space. And if no other way is open to them, the lower races will have to restrict themselves accordingly. Adolf Hitler was very bold. He had a vision that the rest of the world didn't appreciate. Of course, he was held in check, and thankfully that did not happen. But Satan wanted to be over all. And then second of all, he says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. J.F. Brown says, above God, in other words. He said it's the same star that's mentioned in Daniel chapter 8, verse 10. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. And stars in this text expresses earthly pontiffs who God had put into place, his kingdoms and his authority here on earth. And we, of course, understand that God put authority into place. In Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And the stars here are expressed, as in Job 38:7, as heavenly principalities. And it says there, when the morning stars sing together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So Satan didn't want to just be over all the world. He wanted to be over all the world's leaders. He wanted to be in control of everyone. He wanted to be in control of all the earthly authority that God had put into place. And then he says, next, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. Now this is for a fixed and for a definite time. He didn't want to just be in charge for a little bit. He wanted this to be forever. And he says, I will establish my royal throne on Mount Zion. Now, what is so interesting about that? Well, Mount Zion, of course, you know, is where the Jews would meet together to worship God. So in a sense, he didn't want to just be over all the world and over all the leaders. He wanted to go a step further and wanted everybody to worship him as well. It wasn't enough for him just to control. He wanted everyone to submit to him and to worship him like they were doing to God. And then he says, and number four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. He says, I will be higher than them all the kings and all the bishops. You can see he reeks of pride and arrogance. It reminds me of an authority-hungry sergeant in the Air Force. He was so excited he finally got to his position of leadership, and he made sure everyone understood that he was the boss. He ran across a subordinate who put the egomaniac in his place. The sergeant screamed to the airman third class, you have one stripe on your arm and I have four. That makes you nothing to me, he said. So when I bark, I expect you to move because I'm in charge. The unimpressed airman replied, well, if I am nothing, then big deal. You're just a sergeant in charge of nothing. Okay. And I think we see here tonight that Satan didn't want to just be in charge. He wanted to force everyone to worship him. But as we appreciate about God is we're not robots. He gives us a free will. Aren't you thankful tonight that we aren't made to worship God? We get to worship God. The love of God constraineth us. We can't help but want to pursue God for his goodness. So Satan not only wanted to be in charge of everybody, he wanted everybody to worship him. He wanted everyone to adore him. He wanted everyone to put us over him. And instead of earning that, he wanted to make everybody do it. And then he says, last of all, I will be like the Most High. And the uncontrollableness of his power, the universal extent of his dominion, he wanted to make everybody know that he was in charge. Mr. Spurgeon wrote a parable one time about a tyrant who summoned one of his subjects into his presence and ordered that subject to make a chain. The poor blacksmith, that was his occupation, had to go to work and forge this chain that the tyrant wanted him to make. When it was done, he brought it to the presence of the tyrant and was ordered to take it away and make it twice the length. So the poor old blacksmith went home and worked on it and came back. And the tyrant looked at it and commanded the servants to bind this blacksmith hand and foot with the chain he had made and cast him into prison. Spurgeon said that is exactly what the devil does with men. He makes them forge their own chain and then binds them hand and foot with it and casts them into outer darkness. And that's what Satan wants. He's all full of himself. What he wants is what we think we want sometimes, when in all reality, it's actually a chain that will hold us in bondage. We all know the story of the drunkard, the gamblers, those who reject God. Didn't always start that way, but little by little found themselves in bondage more than they could handle. And so these statements reveal Satan's sinful nature. And there are several things here tonight that this shows. First of all, his rebellion. Of course, we know Isaiah 1 and verse number 2 says, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. I think though Satan has rebelled, we all have that ability to rebel against God. We must be very careful to not do that. Of course, we saw the effects of that. We've been studying through Judges and Ruth and now 1 Samuel of those who've rebelled against God, and it doesn't go well. But when they get God on board and worship Him, what does He do? He delivers them. We see this statement also reveal Satan's disobedience. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 15, this happened. To be disobedient is to yield to self-will instead of surrendering and desire God's will in all things. What a classic verse this is. If you remember, Saul, of course, does something that he should not have done. And Samuel tells him, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. What does Saul say? I have sinned, for I have transgressed the command of the Lord in thy words, because there's a reason why I did it, Samuel. Because I feared their voice. I feared the people, and I obeyed their voice. You still disobeyed, though. Whether it was out of fear or not, you disobeyed Saul. Jackson Brown Jr. says, I've learned that if you give a pig and a boy everything they want, you'll get a good pig who's happy, and you'll get a very bad boy. Isn't that the case? We see his disobedience, we see his rebellion, but Satan also had self-sufficiency. It was all about him, and he could do it on his own. It's a deception that leads us away from God. Of course, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, that great king, and Daniel in chapter number 4 was judged because of his self-sufficiency. And verse number 30, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Be very careful being too self-sufficient. I believe God wants us to do our part, but He certainly wants us to do it in His power. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Have you ever tried to do something without God's power, without His anointing? You get frustrated in your own ability, and you realize later, sure would have been a whole lot better if God would be involved. Oftentimes when people text me a prayer request or tell me one, I often say, I'm going to be praying that God will make a way. Why? Because God can open doors we can't open. And God can make things happen that we never can imagine. I remember as a young boy, really getting a burden for our bus route there in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and it just was not growing, and there just wasn't a lot of people coming, and it was hard driving 35, 40 minutes each way and only a few people coming. And so finally I said, Dad, we got to do something about it. He goes, okay, let's do it. Go for it. And so we did. We started working hard. And I remember as a young man coming home, and we have a big bank barn, and it has an old hay mall in it, and I'll never forget going up there. Of course, those winter months sometimes, or spring, it would be cold and rainy and wet, so I couldn't take a walk. And I'd go up in that barn, and I'd go up in a corner and be dusty and dirty up there. And that was kind of my prayer closet. And it's an old granary where the feed used to come years ago when they would drop it down to the cattle. And I'll never forget just grabbing one of those corners and just saying, God, will you do something? Can you do something? God, we need you to. And I don't know how many times I've looked back on that time and say, man, Justin, you need to get back to that spot. Or you need to find a new one here. But anytime we become self-sufficient, God's hand can't help us as much. And Satan here became self-sufficient. In Muhammad Ali's heyday as a heavyweight champion in boxing, he had taken a seat on a 747, which was starting to taxi down the runway, about ready to take off. And the flight attendant walked by and noticed he didn't have his seatbelt on. How many have been there before? And you need that young lady. Put your seatbelt on, your tray up, your seat all the way up, sir. They're back all the way under the chair. I know, I've flown 100 times. I know that, you know. And what did he say? He said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. Without hesitation, she looked at him and said, Superman don't need no plane either. Have you ever been self-sufficient? May I say today, he also had pride. He also had pride. Pride can be every single one of us downfall if we're not careful. Chapter 16, verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 16. The Bible says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I don't think any story helps illustrate that verse more than in Cornerstone Bank in Waco, Nebraska, in November of 2012. It was robbed. $6,000 was all they came out with. The bank employees were able to give the police a fairly good description of the teenage girl who pulled off the crime and the car in which she escaped. But as it turned out, the investigators didn't really need those descriptions because that young lady recorded a YouTube video titled Chick Bank Robber, boasting of her criminal prowess. And she quickly found herself in prison. Talk about someone who is prideful. Now, I know that's crazy, but we all can be prideful from time to time. And may we not give place to the devil. May we be willing to keep a humble spirit before God. May I do that? May you do that? And then we see that he also had a problem with self-exaltation. Self-exaltation naturally follows self-deception. We deceive ourselves into thinking we are greater than we really are. Reminds me of the story about 2 weeks of pre-K. Linda Wilbank's 5-year-old grandson came home with a mighty big compliment. Nick told his grandmother that he was the smartest kid in class. With a deep sense of pride, Linda asked him if that was what his teacher said. Nick replied, "No, ma'am. I had to tell her that." And you know, oftentimes we can get in trouble with self-exaltation. I think of the earliest people here on earth, Adam and Eve, when they had been very careful not to take the fruit from the tree. What did they do in Genesis 2:15? The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of the tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And then chapter 3, verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit, did eat, and gave it unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We see a couple, of course, because of them, we all are sinners, self-exaltation, thinking they were smarter than God. And Satan, of course, tempted them to think that. May I say we all have to be careful of that. Then the last thing I feel like Satan struggled with was his all-encompassing pride and arrogance. It was not just prideful, but he was just straight up arrogant. It was all about him and nothing about God. The story is told about a CEO and Fortune 500 company who pulled into a service station to get gas. While he was there, his wife got out and started talking to the gas station attendant. The CEO looked at that, and he remembered that young man. Well, he was older now. And he remembered that his wife had dated him in high school at one point. And so she got back in the car, and the two drove in silence. He was feeling pretty good about himself when he finally spoke. "I bet I know what you're thinking," he said. "You're thinking you're glad you married me, a Fortune 500 CEO, and not him, a service station attendant." She looked at him coolly and said, "No, I was thinking if I married him, he'd be a Fortune 500 CEO and you'd be a service station attendant." Talk about someone who was full of arrogance. Now, I know sometimes we can't help it. We get excited about something. But may we be mindful of being arrogant. Know-it-all. Too cocky. And may we lean heavily on God. And so we see today Satan's five I wills really became all about himself. And if we're not careful, we have that same sin nature, and we can find ourselves in that place too. We can become unlivable. We can become unbearable if we don't keep in tune with our God. But what about God? What was his I wills? Well, we read Exodus already, but let's turn over to Exodus chapter 6. It'll be there on the screen too. But we see in verse number 6, the Bible says there, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." So the first thing that God said is, "I will bring you out from the burdens of Egyptians." Satan wants to put more burdens on you, but God says, "I will bring you out from the burdens of Egyptians." In Exodus 1 verse 11, "Therefore they did set over the taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramses." They were afflicted. There was a new Pharaoh who knew not the God of Joseph, and he was making sure they were in bondage. I see this evening that God not just brought the Egyptians out of bondage, but he's brought every single one of his children under bondages. What does Galatians 5:1 say? "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Do you realize before you came to Christ, you were in the yoke of bondage? And God says, "Hey, quit tangling yourself back in it. You're free." May you live like it. May we live like we're free. Matthew 11:30, "For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Galatians 6:2, "We're to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." God doesn't want to give us more burdens, if you will. He wants to bring us out and bring us free. And any burdens he brings, any yoke he brings, it makes our burdens easier. Why? Because we're doing it in his power. Several weeks ago, I was moving some things, and Jackson says, "Can I help you?" I said, "Sure, sure." He goes, "Oh, Dad, here, how about you get this end?" I picked it up. He goes, "Well, how about you get the middle?" So I got the middle. And he had the one edge. He goes, "Oh, yeah, I can do it now." You know. And sometimes I think we try to do it all ourselves. And it's a great state, is it not, when we realize we can't do it without God. We just got to give it to God. Now, I don't pretend to understand every burden you're facing. I can't. I don't know. But I do know one person that does, and that is God. And he wants to help you with that. Whereas Satan wants to burden you more. I think of, second of all, God says in verse number 7, "I will take you to be me for a people." In other words, he says, "I want to own you, of course, as you're my child, but I want to give you my protection." I think of, if you've ever rented off of someone and you had a good landlord, how they would help. It's theirs. And I think of when you own your own house, and it's a whole other ballgame. You know, it's your responsibility. And God says, "Hey, I want you to come under me. I want you to feel my protection." Genesis 17:8, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Now, aren't you thankful that that covenant was not just for his people, but it's for you and me today? I think of Ruth, Job, Nebuchadnezzar, Darius the Mede, Cyrus. None of those were Israelites, but God used them all. And God continues to govern the nations upon the earth, Psalm 67:4. And in every nation, he feareth him and worketh righteousness and accepteth with him in Acts 10:35. The centurion in the Gospels, the Cornelius in Acts. I'm thankful that God doesn't just limit it to the Israelites, but he wants to be every one of our gods. And he wants us to be able to enjoy his presence and his protection. And then he says in verse 7, not just will I take you to be for me a people, I will bring you out from under the burdens, but I will be to you a God. I want to be revered by you, revered if you will, but that's because I'm your all-powerful leader. I'm your protector. I'm your benefactor. And we kind of saw that this morning a little bit. I don't want to re-preach all that. The children of Israel had forgotten that. And then they had to understand God's sovereignty and get to the place where they called out for God's help once again. Numbers 15:41, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. He says, I want to take you for my people. I want to be your God. And I want you to clearly know who brought you forth out of Egypt. I love you. Years ago, there was a little girl who went shopping with her mother. Her daddy had given her a couple dollars to do whatever she wanted. And she chose a shiny necklace with shiny beads that looked like pearls. Her daddy knew it was fake, but to her, they were as real could be. She loved that little necklace, and she put those pearls on. She wouldn't take it off. She slept in it. She bathed in it. Everything. She would not take it off. Her daddy was so impressed by her attachment to the pearls that one evening, as he was tickling her, and she started giggling a little bit, he said, you know, I have something for you. And he said, if you love daddy, will you give me your pearl necklace? The little girl said, no. The next day, the daddy asked her again, and she had a little tear in her eye and said, daddy, no. I don't want to give you my necklace. A few nights later, he did the same thing. And he said, I love you, baby girl. Do you love daddy? If you really do, will you give me your pearl necklace? This time, the little girl took it off and said, daddy, here, I love my pearl necklace, but I love you more. Take it. And then her daddy reached into his pocket and took out a velvet box and handed it to her. She opened it up and saw an even more beautiful necklace, the one made of real pearls. For weeks he had brought it for her, waiting for her to be willing to trust his love enough to receive the true pearls. Isn't that how our God is? The world, the devil wants to give us the cheap imitation. And God says, give me your life, and I'll give you more than you ever could ask or think. Amen. Desires of your heart. Abundant life, a victorious life. I do it because I love you and I want to be your God. Fourth of all, God says, I will bring you into the land, verse 8. He being immutable and eternal would assuredly give it to them. He who had the authority and the power to dispose of lands and kingdoms, as we saw that he did with the Philistines, these impossible country that, as we'll see next week, that the Israelites will be able to destroy with little to no army. And they do it because they have the hand of God on their side. God is good God, and he's good for his promises. Number 5, we see he says, I will give it to you for a heritage. You see the difference here? Satan's I will statements were sinful and brought death. But God's I will statements gave hope and gave comfort. Now, why is it so hard sometimes to follow God with all our hearts? I mean, it's very clear in Scripture that it's a much better way, and Satan wants what's worse for us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to rule over us for the wrong things, and God wants to for the right reason. He loves us. He's our Creator. I'm not going to re-preach the message because many of you were here, but I want to just give us 7 quick things of the I wills of a believer. If you're here a couple weeks ago, you heard me say, this, Isaiah says, I will trust and not be afraid. The Bible says in Isaiah 12 and verse number 2, I will trust and not be afraid. I don't know about you tonight, but Here is someone who was willing to put his trust in Christ for salvation. But he was able to keep his trust in God no matter what would happen. I want to encourage you tonight, if you love your God, this believer in Isaiah says, I will trust and not be afraid. Second of all, the psalmist says in Psalms 18:1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I will love thee. Not only would he put his confidence in the salvation of his God, but he was willing to identify with Christ. He was willing to love God and show his love. I gave the illustration of when I put an engagement ring on Alicia's finger. That was the most I had ever spent on a piece of jewelry. Why? Because I wanted to show her my love. I wanted to identify with her and her with me. We see, third of all, the psalmist says, I will praise thee in Psalms 139, verse 14, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. He was not only happy to trust God privately, and then happy to boldly proclaim and show that he wanted to connect with God, but he was also willing to praise God and declare God's goodness with others. Are you willing to declare God's goodness with others? Is it something that comes out of you? Do people know? Yeah, I know. You love God. It's not a bad thing. Then number four, the psalmist says in Psalms 119, 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. Not only did he trust in his God privately, not only did he proclaim it, not only did he praise God and let everybody know, but he was willing to keep the commandments of God. He loved his God, and he wanted to be what God wanted him to be. And then fifth of all, he was willing to walk before the Lord. Psalms 116:9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He had a purpose not just to proclaim the word of God, not just to do God's word, but he was willing to walk it out in the world. He didn't want to just be a Christian in private. No, he wanted to live the walk where everybody could see. He was proud to associate with his Savior. And then sixth of all, the psalmist says, I will behave myself wisely. If you remember, I talked about, he says, I will walk within my house. And we see he would do it in his kingdom. We talked a little bit about not only was he saved and trusting the Lord and identifying with Christ, but proclaiming the good news. And then he was willing to walk the walk. And he was also willing to be in the home what he was in the church house. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, we're having a great day. 5 minutes ago, we were yelling and chewing each other out in the van. But we're here. Now, I know that happens to the best of us. But may we be willing to be in the home where we want everyone to see at the church. And then David was willing to live right and rule right in his kingdom. And then we see number seven, bless the Lord at all times. Even in his trials, he didn't get bitter at God. The cave of Adullam, we know, we talked about that. But it brought him closer to God. And folks, we have a choice this evening. We can allow Satan to rule and reign our life, but his will statements bring sinful and death. But the five I will statements of God bring hope and comfort. So may we choose the seven I wills of the believer and show a love and devotion to the Lord. Now we know there's a spiritual war that rages. I don't think there's a certain person in here that would say, I don't know, that's a pretty tough decision to make, Pastor, if I want to follow Satan or God. But how many would agree that Satan has a desire to tempt and deceive us? But may we not give Satan more power than he has. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Aren't you thankful that Satan's power is limited? 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is the god of this world. We see in whom the god of the world has blinded the minds of men, of them which believe not. He's the prince of this world in John 12, verse 31. Now the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. But he is a small g, God, and he's a small p, prince. Our Lord and Savior is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's in control. Reminds me, years ago we had a dog named Tanner. And Tanner was a mix of all kinds of stuff. And he was a big dog, though. And we had a cat. Her name was Tippy. She affectionately got her name by my sister. She had a little white tip on her tail. And Tippy was the best mouser we ever had. But Tippy also was a strong cat. And though she was small, I'll never forget seeing Tanner go up to her and try to bark at her and chase her. And she... And he... Dude, you're 10, 15 times her size! Man up and be a manly dog! But he never did. And folks, I want to encourage you tonight. The devil's powerful. We know that. But aren't you thankful that we have a big God who's greater? And he can give us the power we need to overcome him. Jeremiah 32, 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? 1 Timothy 6:15, which in times, his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only Pontius, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Psalms 89:11, the heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world in all its fullness, you have founded them. God is in control. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. May I say, you cannot overcome sin by yourself sometimes. You need accountability. You need someone who will help you. You need God's Word. That's why church is so vital. That's why being here every time you can is so great. Having someone who can help you through all that. The devil's powerful, but not more powerful than God. I want to encourage you tonight. Though Satan has several plans for you, if you will, you don't have to allow him to win. God is greater. And God has so much better plans than Satan ever has. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Maybe there's someone here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. May I encourage you to come to Christ. He loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. But maybe there's someone tonight that would say, you know what, Pastor Justin, something that was said tonight, God touched my heart. Will you pray for me? If that's you, will you slip up your hand? I want to pray for you tonight. God bless you. Maybe there's someone tonight that would say, Pastor Justin, there is a trial, a burden I'm bearing, that it's hard. I'm struggling. Well, will you pray that God will give me the victory and give me what I need to get through it? If that's you, will you slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. God bless you. I see those hands. Lord, you see the hands. You know the hearts. Lord, a message like this, much scripture. Lord, I think it's a reminder for many if we've been in church at any time. But I hope tonight something was said, Lord, or your word cut through, or something was challenging, that will cause, Lord, us as a church to respond the way you want us to, and to get victory through you, and to, Lord, fall in love with you even more, and decide and determine to put you first in our life. And Lord, give you our life and our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could stand to your feet, the piano's going to play. The altar's open. If you'd like to just come tonight and just spend some time with God, I encourage you to. Maybe you'd like to stay there in your pew, that's fine. But don't leave tonight without doing something with God if he's worked in your heart. The devil wants to get us, I know. He wants to discourage us. He wants to tear us down. He wants to get us to where we're not really serving God with our all. But God loves you. He wants what's best for you. And let's keep putting God first and watching him do a work in our life. He wants what's best for us. And I believe we can give our trials, our burdens to God, and trust him, spend time with him on a daily basis, listening to his Holy Spirit's presence, obeying his word, his voice, and just falling in love with him and grabbing a hold into him. Being with God's people, finding someone that you can confide in and talk to, that can be accountable with, and get the victory God has for you. Amen. God bless you. Appreciate your faithfulness today. You can be seated. Thank you for being here, being in your place, and many of you serving all day long. Hope you know that I appreciate that. I know you don't do it for the pastor. You do it for God, but I just want you to know I appreciate it, and I hope you have a great week. We're going to watch a video here and keep us up to date on a few things, and then we'll be dismissed tonight.
There will be a teen overtime activity on Wednesday, May 8th at 7 p.m. Teens in 6th through 12th grade will get to play four-way volleyball in the gym, followed by a Bible study.
Don't miss the next Ladies Service Ministry meeting on Wednesday, May 8th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Forest Creek Park Lodge. There will be a potluck lunch, so bring a dish to share. We'll have a short devotion as well as a drawing for door prizes. Come and join us as we work together to equip, encourage, and extend the work of Grandview.
Ladies, make plans to join us for a delightful time of Bible teaching and fellowship at our annual Ladies Refresher on May 17th and 18th. Our guest speakers will be Laurel Dalzell and Vicki Mutchler. The cost for this event is $25. We will have a delicious dinner along with a dessert fellowship and table games. A light breakfast will be provided on Saturday during our morning break time. Please don't miss this opportunity to be refreshed, strengthened, encouraged, and challenged in our Christian walk. For more detailed information, see our table out by the welcome desk.
We will have a special Mother's Day service at Grandview next Sunday, May 12th. Every adult lady who is present will receive a crumble cookie. We will have a photo booth for moms and their families to get a picture. There will also be baby dedication on this day during the 11 o'clock service. This will be for children 5 years old and under. If you would like to commit your child to the Lord on this special day, please sign up at the welcome desk.
If this is your first or second time here, we want to answer your questions and get to know you. Please fill out the Connect card in the pew in front of you and bring it to guest services as you exit the auditorium. We would love to meet you and you will receive a gift card. Have a great week and we will see you Wednesday night at 7 p.m.
Okay, let's give the audio and visual one more hand tonight. And great job. We do appreciate all the ministries at our church. I hope you know we've done this the last couple weeks, and we just want to remember and appreciate all you guys do. And God bless you all. By the way, if you're in a different ministry, we're getting through them all. Just give us time. And you are, I faked a couple of people out. You're dismissed, all right? Go ahead.